And we can turn to Psalm 1 and 2, and we're going to read Psalm 2 this morning. Are you recording? Oh, cool. I don't have to do it on my phone. I was just checking. So let me just tell you that there were two phrases in my notes this morning that I woke up this morning, and they were just sort of sitting with me, just reverberating with me. So maybe before we pray again, I think I might just share them with you. I feel like my thoughts are completely discombobulated by my sleep, if that makes sense. So as I said, I woke up and I was just reflecting on two of these phrases. So it's probably the whole message, but don't leave if I tell you right at the outset. So the one phrase is it's the sense of calling. And the call from distraction to attention. And then the call from intimidation to adoration. And that's the heart of Psalm 1 and 2. The sense of God drawing us, calling us from all that distracts us. And calling us to attention, to be attentive to Him. And then Psalm 2 is this intimidation and the calling from intimidation, perhaps being bullied, being anxious about, being intimidated, to adoration, to worship. So why don't we just pause for a moment, and I'm just going to pray and just welcome the Holy Spirit, and even if there's just a few moments of silence, I invite you just to bring what you bring. It's your stress, the things that you're carrying. And let's just present it before the Lord this morning. We come with our gifts, Lord. We come with all that we are. But we also come with what we're carrying. We ask that you would surprise us again this morning. So if you were here last week, you'll remember, and you might know Psalm 1 quite well, but Psalm 1 has these verbs of sitting, standing, walking. And the challenge is not to be distracted by what Psalm 1 says, the ungodly, the world. Don't sit with people who are mocking, be distracted. Don't walk in the path of those who aren't following God. Don't stand around and chat with them, but be rooted like a well-rooted tree is the image that's presented to us in Psalm 1. So there's this opportunity to meditate on this flourishing, fruitful, green, well-rooted tree. And the invitation is to be grounded and rooted in God's revelation. So in our world, there's so many voices. There's so many things that distract us. You know, when the psalmist wrote this, boy, he didn't know about YouTube and social media and smartphones and all that kind of stuff and news and newspapers. You know, this was before, you know, like there were just newspapers being sold on the streets. And there are all these voices. that call us and distract us. And the psalmist calls us to be grounded and rooted in the revelation of God. That's Psalm 1. So listen to Psalm 2. Bit different, bit of a different tone, but just as powerful. Why do the nations conspire, says the NIV. The literal Hebrew is rage. I think the old King James used to say that. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven just laughs. He laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask of me, and I'll give the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them like a rod of iron. You'll dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, prime ministers, presidents, rulers, whatever, be wise. Be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his anger will flare up in a moment. Blessed are you who take refuge in him. I love the psalm. I mean, Psalm 1 and 2, I could just talk about for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I've been encouraging you to and introducing the psalms as an opportunity to engage with the Lord in conversation, in prayer. And it would be nice, I think at some point I need to start asking you, well, what are the psalms that are speaking to you at the moment? What are the psalms that you're reading that are, you know, bringing comfort to you or inspiring you to pray? And maybe in the meantime, you're welcome just to also just share that on even our prayer group. To say maybe there's a day that there's a psalm that you think this is speaking to you. It might be for others. So just pop it on the prayer group. Maybe not the whole of Psalm 119, but, you know. And again, you don't have to put the whole psalm up. It might just be a phrase or a verse or, you know, something like that. But Psalm 2 is amazing. I mean, look at this psalm. I mean, like, was it written this week? Was it written last year? Was it written for this year or for the past few years? It's like, it's so relevant to our world. I mean, the scriptures are so relevant to us. And I was laughing. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers, they band together against the Lord. The one enthroned in heaven, I think this past few weeks, he is holding onto his throne. Because he is, it's like he is laughing. I think maybe every few months, every few years, he has to just hold on. Because he's shaking with laughter so much. It's like, this is what's happening in our world. And the Lord scoffs at them. And he says, I've installed my king. I proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today, I've become your father. Do you know, I mean, this is, so that, again, what time's supper? So, I mean, I said to you last week, and I want to say to you again, but, you know, however these psalms were collated, we talk about them as the canon of Scripture, the formation of the Hebrew canon, later the formation of the New Testament canon, but even just the collection and the collation of the Psalms as a book or five books. So these Psalms were written, tradition tells us, the earliest tradition was they were the Psalms of David, but we don't even know what that means. because there could have been people writing, David writing psalms, people around David writing psalms, later people writing psalms in honor of David. So I don't think many scholars think that David wrote each and every, 150 psalms. But when they put them together, they're not chronologically like, well, the first psalm that was written is Psalm 1, and the last psalm that was written is Psalm 100. They were written over an extended period. And there were probably hundreds of psalms that were written. And maybe there are a lot of people who were very miserable that theirs got tossed out. But there's 150, and when these psalms were collated, Psalm 1 and 2 were placed at the beginning of the Psalter, the book of Psalms, as an entrance to the Psalms. And so many of the guys, Peterson and N.T. Wright and others, say, if the Psalms are the school of prayer, if the Psalms is the place to learn to praise, worship, and to be in communion with God, Psalm 1 and 2 aren't that. We learn to pray. We start praying, and it's a bit, it's a bit kind of conspired, if I can put it like this. We start praying properly in Psalm 3. Psalm 1 and 2 prepare us for all that follows. They're like this gabled, amazing entrance to the rest of the Psalms. They're the foundation for the rest. Because Psalm 2, they realized God has installed His Son, His Messiah. This is Jesus who has come. He is the King. He is the one who cries out, "You have become my Father, today I've become your Son." So the early church went, wow, this is amazing. And it became this incredible psalm right through the history of the early church in terms of an important understanding of who Christ is and just realizing what the psalms call us to. So Psalm 2, from intimidation, the world tries, well, to bully God, that's a laugh. But the world tries to intimidate us with all its posturing, with all its, we have all the authority, we're going to do this. Maybe we'll invade Mauritius. I haven't spoken to John this week. He's only coming back. I mean, I don't know. I think we should take the Seychelles, quite frankly. George and Wendy are going to Madagascar. There's all these, there's all this stuff that's going on in the world. And people are feeling pretty. I would not like to be in the Ukraine or even parts of Eastern Europe for the next few years. I would feel quite intimidated. But, the other day, so I was driving, down the road, and there was this huge roadblock. And do you ever have that? maybe you don't. Maybe there's a lot of you. You just see a roadblock, you're like, oh, it's wonderful. I can say hello to traffic. I just sit there and go, oh, Lordy, is there a fine? I haven't paid. Am I? What is going to happen? It's like, please, God, can I just get through here? and did you ever have that thing? When does my license have to be renewed? It's like you have these things. But I mean, there's authorities, rulers and that, and sometimes their job is to intimidate us, or they think it is. And Psalm 2 says, whatever's happening in our world, internationally or even at local government level, there's really only one King. And we are called to adore Him. So Psalm 2 ends, what is so powerful about 2 is that it culminates with kiss the Son. It's not a meditation like Psalm 1 on, the intricacies of the Christology of the Messiah or something. No. It's a call to worship. Kiss the Son. It's this call to adoration. And what a combination with Psalm 1. Because our relationship as we explore the Psalms and we want to go deeper in terms of joy and prayer and praise and even just crying out to God in anguish or anger, there's this freedom in the Psalms to really engage with God, to be in a real honest relationship with Him, but to experience just the depths and the riches of intimacy with God. And there's such beautiful psalms. I mean, the Psalms of Ascent, I think Neil was reading one of them this morning. And then Psalm 23. I mean, there's psalms that you could just linger on for days and weeks. This call to such intimacy with the Lord. And Psalm 1 pulls us, draws us, calls us from all the noise, from all the chatter, from all the skinnering and the buzz, the walking and talking with all these people who talking about the rulers of the world in Psalm 2 or, you know, what the neighbor did or whatever. And Psalm 1 just says, be rooted, meditate, meditate, contemplate, give attention to the revelation of God. And you know, sometimes you look at different traditions and different people, and sometimes it feels like, well, they're churches that's what they do. It's like we're going to give attention to God's revelation. I mean, there's some churches, this one's not even that bad, but I mean, there's some that you walk up into the pulpit and it's like the word is so exalted, you know, like the minister's up there throwing bombs down at the people. You know, it's like, talk about intimidation of, you know, Psalm 2, but it's, I don't know, you know, look at that. And sometimes it's like you think, well, maybe there's some people, maybe there's some, like, we word people. We grounded in God's revelation. And on the other hand, you've got Psalm 2, end of Psalm 2 people. We just worship people. You know, we're just going to sing and, you know, let's not worry too much about Bible study and, you know, things like that. We'll just worship. You know, and sometimes it's like you think, okay, well, the Vineyard is just worship, you know, and the Reformed churches are just the Word. But no. Psalm 1 and 2 says these go hand in, they're inseparable. We cannot. How would we know who to worship without God's revelation? How would we really understand who God is without the revelation? I think all worship, as I understand it, all worship is a response. Worship is always us responding to God's initiative. He is revealing. He is calling. He is showing us who He is. He is inviting us into His family, His kingdom. So when we worship, we don't start anything. You know, we don't initiate anything. We are responding because God has already begun and initiated and started. So even that choice that Francis gave us, it's like he's saying, look what I've done for you. Look what I'm inviting you to. Rejoice. Sing a hallelujah. But it doesn't start there. It starts with contemplating this amazing revelation, God's word, His world. So I think if we get stuck in Psalm 1 or the action of Psalm 1, you know, I don't know, maybe the danger is that we become a bit academic and dry and boring, you know. But if you get stuck in Psalm 2, well, it's just love and kisses. You know, it's like, maybe that's more exciting. Maybe it's more attractive to some of you than that. But, you know, Bev and I have been around for a few years, a lot less than a lot of you in different churches and that. And we had a phrase a while ago, you guys, but we used to call people sky pilots. You know, because some people just go off on a tangent, you know, and they're just up there. And I just, well, that's just like sky pilot faith. I don't know where they are. You know, and that's sometimes the danger, is if we're not rooted in God's revelation, well, we're just all over the place. But you know, one of my favorite quotes by Eugene Peterson is, and here was this guy that he wanted to become an Old Testament professor, Hebrew professor, and God didn't let him and drew him into, you know, local church ministry. And then he eventually got to write all the stuff and everything like that. And, you know, he said something quite profound. He said, "I only read theologians who pray." I just loved that. He says, "I only read theologians who pray." Because there's that balance. So you could easily have said, because prayer in the general sense, worship in the general sense, it's not like Vineyard worship or, you know, Andy Bach worship. These are general terms. But in that sense, it's like we just need both. The word, the revelation of God calls us into relationship with this Trinitarian God who is a family, who has a kingdom, who wants intimacy with us. And so our meditation, our understanding of Scripture needs to end in worship. It needs to become worship. It doesn't end, it's not a one, it's just continually back and forward. Our profound engagement with the psalm, with the verse, with the book that you read, with the gospels, has to always draw us to God. We're throwing up our hands. We're prostrating ourselves before Him. We are kissing the Son. It's adoration that we call to. It's the profound just worship and love of Jesus. So, another thought to leave you with, Psalm 1 and 2 bracket these two things, meditating in God's revelation. And then Psalm 2 almost ends off with adoration, kiss the Son, take refuge in Him. And it prepares us for this vibrant life of faith in the Psalms, but also prepares us for a violent and unfriendly world. Because as we proceed from Psalm 1 and 2, we mean to engage with the Psalms in our whole lives. It's not for an hour on Sunday. God's revelation and engaging with the Psalms, and particularly the Psalms are like, "God, oh God, what's happening? What have you done?" You know, and when you're driving down the highway and the taxi pulls in front of you, it's just that phrase, "Break the teeth of the wicked, Lord." It just comes out, you know, or whatever, you know. It's like all these phrases in this, it's like, there's just this raw engagement with God in whatever's facing us. I mean, some of the, like, "I lie on my bed at night weeping." You know, my heart, my life is torn with anguish. My enemies surround me. I mean, what's not to relate to in this? It's like, it's not all joy. It's like in the midst of, "Okay, God, this is my last few minutes. Bail me out of here." And then the next psalm is like, "Wow, you did." Or maybe it's the next few psalms. And so this is just raw life. But Psalm 2, from intimidation to adoration. And the other thought I just want to leave you with, we're going to pray in a moment, is, I feel like it's almost like a compass. This call to kiss the Son to adore him, to love him, to pour out our love on him, to take refuge in him. These last two thoughts is like, as we engage with the rest of our lives, as we leave here into a classroom or a place of work or a family, like wherever we're going to, it's like, it's this compass that orientates us. Because we know that we are by nature worshippers. We will give worth to anything and everything. But we do that by nature. But get your bearings. I feel this often. Like, Wayne, you're going off track again. You know, get your bearings. And my bearings are not north or true north. My bearings are, he has installed his king. God has given us his king. And Wayne, worship him, kiss him, be intimate, adore him with all that you are. And that, the intimidation and anguish and everything that's worrying me somehow gets left behind when I'm focusing on him. I can't always focus on those other things. They're there. And I often need to get sorted out. I have another leak in my house, if I can tell you. So after all this, we had all this sitting in the lounge, and I'm like, look up and worship the Lord, and I see these brown patches, and I close my eyes, and there's this drip on the couch. Drip, drip. I was like, okay, that ain't going to go away. Okay, I'm praying it will. Just, can the sun come out, and can we not have any rain? I mean, that's kind of, can't even go there. But it's like, that's not going to go away. That needs to be sorted out. But you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes if I get caught up in all these things, it's just, I become this rage. Why do the nations rage? I'm going, well, that's me. You know, if I get caught up in, I just am a rage. I'm just like this ball of anxiety and anger. And I need to pause. Say, there's a king. He's my king. And I'm called to worship him. And when that is like in place, well, find a damp guy, whatever. Or just move the couch. Whatever it is. Silly example. Can we just end there this morning? And I said this last week, but Psalm 1, what is always distracting you? What are your distractions? And Psalm 2, that's a distraction. What is intimidating you? Where do we feel bullied? Oh, where are we just not at peace with God's rule? So Lord, I ask you now, just for a few moments, would you, Holy Spirit, where does this land with us?